Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. It's good to have you here with us. My name is Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf News Net. All of our work is available on our website, golfnewsnet.com. And you can find us on your Amazon Fire and Roku TVs. I had a great couple of days in Sweetens Cove. If you did listen to the last podcast, to kind of tease that out, that we would be going on our first ever GNN Golf Trip X audience trip, and we would be going to Sweetens Cove in Tennessee. And we were going to have the golf course for 2 days, and we're going to have like 30 players, and we were just going to tear it up until we couldn't play any golf anymore. And I flew in on Thursday. Our event was Friday and Saturday. And I flew into Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is about 40 minutes away from Sweetens Cove, to the east of Sweetens Cove. And I went over to Chattanooga Golf and Country Club, which has the best secondary logo going right now. They have a choo-choo for the Chattanooga choo-choo, and it kind of looks like the Monopoly choo-choo. Like, you remember what the Monopoly trains look like when you buy the railroads? And it is just wonderful. But I stopped over there to meet Chad Anderson from the Tennessee Golf Association. They were having a USGA Mid-Am qualifier there, and I was looking for a place to play, but I didn't really have the time to kind of make arrangements. And so I went over there, checked out the golf course, got a little merch at the merch tent. They were very happy to sell me the $40 Peter Millar t-shirt. That was the lowest thing that I could wear, that lowest price thing that I could wear that had the logo on it, because I didn't want to spend $90 for a t-shirt or for a polo shirt from a golf course I have not played. I'm not a logo guy. Usually I don't like just getting logos from places that I play, whether they're great or indifferent. If they're a great logo, I'll wear it. But I feel like I should have played there in most cases to have worn it. I mean, the only exceptions, I guess, are Augusta National for Masters logos. And then, I guess this one. Those are the two that I've got that I've never played. I would love to play Chattanooga Golf and Country Club someday, but just couldn't make it happen that day. So got over to there, hung out for a couple hours, had a little chat with Chad, got to know the Tennessee golf scene a little bit, and then went over to Sweetens, met Mitch Lawrence, who was getting there exactly at the moment that I was, basically, and then he took like a 10-minute stop to Walmart and ruined it. Ruined the perfect meetup. But we get there, and there's literally nobody at Sweetens Cove. I mean, the Sweetens Cove is run a little bit differently than pretty much every golf course you've ever been to. They don't have a parking lot, really. It's just grass. They don't have a clubhouse. It's literally a shed they probably bought from Home Depot and parked in the, like, a little bit of a cul-de-sac that probably used to be there for the old golf course. They don't have any on-course bathrooms except nature. They have one port-a-john on the property. And at about 2 in the afternoon every day, whoever's there is done. They leave. Once the last tee time is off, that's pretty much it for that guy. And that person goes home. And the people who are playing the course, you could play all day for a certain rate, or you can play just 9 or just 18. Whatever it is, they kind of leave it to you on the honor system to just do what you said you were going to do and then leave. And if you rented a cart, you drive it back to where the carts were. If not, you just leave and go home. You play as much golf as you need. So we got there, 4:30, 4:45. We teed off a couple minutes later. I mean, it's a two-second walk from where you park your car to the first tee. And we played 9 holes. I mean, it was scorching hot. And the humidity had to have been more than 100% at that point. You were swimming in it. It was a lot. And it was just perfect, though. I mean, other than the stifling heat that nearly killed us both, the golf course was in beautiful condition. There were like 3 other people there. It was just the way you would imagine having a perfect day on the golf course, where there's nobody there to stop you, not even people working there. And so we played for a couple hours, played 9 holes, and then we were going to meet up and go to our cabin. So go to the cabin. So I rented this place just over the border. I mean, it's about a quarter of a mile, maybe a half a mile over the border into Alabama. Bryant, Alabama is technically the town. And the place was called Paradise Point Resort. And on VRBO, they show nice views of a lake and a very nice, well-kept place. 5 stars for me for VRBO. So if you're ever going to Sweetens, check out Paradise Point with one caveat. And that caveat is that the driveway to Paradise Point was the scariest thing I've ever driven a car on. I mean that seriously. It was basically I'm going to say a 46-degree driveway for the first few hundred yards with no guardrails and just one lane. And then you made a slight turn, which was even scarier because you couldn't really see the turn because you're almost looking at the sun. And then you kind of get up into a circular kind of gravel driveway area where you can kind of get up to the cabins at the top of this hill. So you're probably up, I'm going to guess at the end of it all, that's too much, 1,000 feet above the water. I mean, at water level, you know. The view is incredible, but you feared for your life the first time. Got it easier the second time, third time, all that stuff. Going down, you had to go slow. That was okay. But the cabin was wonderful. It was a 3-bedroom place with 6 beds. It was actually really the upstairs level is kind of a 1-bedroom and then a loft living room type thing, but they put 2 beds in there. It was great. We had 5 people in the house. We had plenty of room for everybody. We had a nice little kitchenette. It was perfect. So the problem was we didn't buy food. We weren't going to buy food. We were going to eat out every night. And we had to find a place to eat. So we go to the Google machine, trying to figure out where there is a restaurant to eat near us. So we don't have to go right back into either Kimball or South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, the 2 towns next to each other where you get off the highway. Which, by the way, you go through Tennessee into Georgia, then back into Tennessee for some reason on Highway 24. I don't understand why that happened. I don't really care, other than maybe just less TNT it took to build the highway in the first place to move all the rocks. I assume that's it. But we go and figure out on Google, there's this place called Jay's Hole in the Wall. Gets good reviews on Yelp, good reviews on Google. They have good barbecue, apparently. All right, we're going to go find Jay's Hole in the Wall. So we're like, let's get in the car, let's go. They close at 8. We're on Central Time, by the way. Eastern Time is about 6 seconds away, it feels like. So you constantly have to be aware of what time it is, Eastern Time Zone and Central Time Zone, because you're between 3 states and 2 time zones. So start driving, it's like 5 miles away. We're like, this will be no problem. We have a nice little meal. Call it a night. We'll get ready for a long couple days. One of our guys in our group, John Patrick, who's down in Augusta, Georgia. He's the morning show host on one of the radio stations down there. He does news. And he says, hey, bad news. They close at 7 Central. And it's like 3 minutes until 7 Central as we are booking it down the road. Because there was road work, and you have some kind of weird law in Alabama. There's going to be a truck that Sherpas you. I don't understand. Nonetheless, we get there. They are absolutely gracious and wonderful. They sat us. They fed us. They had great food, great pork. They had a great banana pudding cheesecake. Everything was wonderful. They were great. Please go to Jay's Hole in the Wall if you are ever at Sweetens Cove. You will not be disappointed. It is wonderful food. So then we played 2 days of golf, man. 2 days of golf. I didn't really expect to get as much golf in as we did, but in the end, between the 9 I played with Mitch and the 2 days of golf, I played 99 holes of golf. I played 11 times around the 9-hole track of Sweetens Cove. And we didn't play it the same way every time, so each day, and I got to give a huge shout-out to Darren Bunch from our team. He's the managing editor of Golf Trip X. He's been working so hard to put this trip together over the last few months and get all the details right and do everything perfectly. And he said, okay, well, let's just play 18 in the morning. So you're going to play. They've finally installed 2 different pins on each green each day, because for people who come from all over the place who may only play a couple of times, the folks who own Sweetens Cove, Rob Collins and Tad King and their ownership group now that includes Peyton Manning and Andy Roddick and some dude who's huge in Chattanooga real estate, they decided, you know what, that it would be a better idea to have 2 pins, because then once you play twice to get 18 holes, you would get an experience of what it's like to really play each green, more or less. And so we played one set of pins in the morning, and one set of pins in the afternoon. And the white pins are just the Sweetens Cove flag, the ones that have always been there. And then they have a blue flag that I thought at first looked like the Scottish flag, but it's not the Scottish flag because the bars on the Scottish flag make an X, and these made a T. And it turns out it was a darkened Sweden flag to make fun of the locals who say, "Oh, y'all playing at Sweden's Cove," like the country, Sweden's Cove. And so that's why that's the other flag. So we play the 18. Starting to meet some of the guys. We have 26 guys. We have a great breakfast beforehand from Cracker Barrel, by the way. Cracker Barrel breakfast is amazing. They cater. If you can ever do this, if you can get to a Cracker Barrel and get their chicken and waffle sandwich, it will change your life. I now find other breakfasts inadequate because of how good this was. And so we've played. We play golf. I'm starting to get to meet everybody. People have come from all over. People from Mississippi, from Alabama, from Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Maryland, South Carolina, Florida, Ohio. I mentioned Ohio already. I think that was kind of the region. Because of Virginia, a lot of people drove. A couple other folks from Maryland with me. So a lot of people drove to the destination instead of flying in because they didn't want to fly to Atlanta and drive 2 hours. And some people didn't look up the flights to go to Chattanooga like I did. So it all just kind of worked out beautifully for a lot of people to drive. And so we're getting to all know each other, where we're from, what we're talking about. We're playing in groups of four at this point. And it's beautiful. I mean, we had so much fun just getting to know the golf course if you've never played it, or if you have played it, getting reacquainted with it. And it's like finding an old, I mean, I only played it once. I played 18 holes there, not even 18 holes, I played 14 holes before it rained there once last year. And it just kind of felt like an old friend, like you just picked up where you left off. And it was so fun just to remember how to hit some of the shots that you have to hit, to just experiment a little bit. I mean, every hole is unique at Sweetens Cove. They all have different demands. The greens are all very different. And no hole ever feels really the same, because even if you have a similar pin from what you did the day before or whatever, it just, the conditions are different. It just works out. It never quite feels the same. I mean, there are familiar pieces of it, but it never really quite feels the same. And we just had that. So we did that each day. We played 18 in the morning, the new set of people in foursomes to kind of just get a warm up. And we'd have lunch in the afternoon. And this is where Darren really killed it, because he had Dixie Freeze come one day, make us hamburgers and other stuff with tots and fries, local fast food type food. Just brilliant. And then the second day, he had a local barbecue place bring over barbecue with all the kind of southern sides and fixins that come with it. Delicious, delicious. And then here's where Darren really shined in the culinary aspect. He had a milkshake brought out to everybody in the afternoon on the first day. So vanilla milkshakes, and they left a little bit of room so you could pour in your whiskey or your Fireball or your liquor of choice, mix it in there and have an alcoholic one, or you can just have the ice cream if you want it. Inspired choice. And then the second day, we had these hiding in our refrigerator in our cabin. Darren asked a Chattanooga bakery to make sticky pudding cupcakes, sticky toffee pudding cupcakes. And so they did it, and they're delicious, and they brought them for the second day, and they were super and fantastic. And then in the afternoon each day, we had like one or two games. So we had alternate shot one day. We had a hickory nine-hole scramble one day, which I'll get to in a second. We had a cross-country routing where we just made up holes. We just made up nine holes with some recommendations from the folks at Sweetens, and would just play from a different tee to a different green, out of order. Kind of like they do the one day a year where they play St. Andrews backwards, like this. But it was just so amazing with regular clubs. Those weren't hickories. And then I think the other one was, I don't remember what the other game was. It was probably just some kind of like scramble or shamble type deal. But we just had different formats for nine holes at a time. And we played 45 each day. So you played 18 in the morning. And then you got another three nines in. So for not everyone did this. I mean, some people crapped out after 18, some after 27, some after 36. But the diehards, like the 12 or 14 diehards, stuck around, played all 45. And it was, I mean, it was just so much fun because you get to know these guys. You know, golf reveals a lot about a person, I think. So you kind of feel like you get to know somebody a little bit. Playing on a team with somebody, I mean, we had 3- and 4-person teams. We had a 6-person team for the Hickory Scrambles because we only had 3 Hickory bags, basically, and 2 of the players are lefty. So they had to use persimmon and blades from the 60s or 50s or whatever because we didn't have any left-handed hickories. And, it, you know, it was just, you feel like you should get tired of a golf course. And it, in one sense, after a while, I was kind of tired of playing the same 9 holes. But because of the competition and because you got different shots, because it was camaraderie, it didn't get boring. It never got boring. Never got uninteresting. I hit the best shot of my week, I believe. Well, second best shot of the week. But one of the best shots of the week with the Hickory. So we played played the white tees, which is 3 boxes, 4, you know, black, blue, white at Sweetens. And we did that with the Hickories because we had no idea how people would react, whether they would like it, you know, all that stuff. And after a while, people got the hang of it. I mean, it took maybe 2 holes, I think, for people to kind of get the hang of it. For me, I had to start swinging with like a reverse C, and so I could kind of hit loft on the driver. And we eventually get to the 4th, 5th hole, which is a drivable par 4. It's normally from the back tee 293, and then you kind of move up accordingly. And once you get to the white tee, it's about 230, 240. It's a deep green. It's not easy. There's a big bunker kind of fronting the left middle. It's called the Devil's Asshole. And then there's a big yawning bunker kind of looking thing to the right with a big wall that you have to get over. It's just not easy. Even if you bail out left, you have a potentially difficult pitch shot because you have a false front. It's a brilliant hole. So I got up and hit a driver, hit it perfectly, right to the middle of the green. It fed down to the back pin, which we were playing, and it went to 2 feet, and I made the eagle. It was awesome. I'm in on hickories. It's the first time I ever played more than one hole with hickories. There's so much fun. I mean, it is a completely different brand of golf in some sense because you have to swing a little bit easier. You just can't do certain things that you can do with modern equipment. But the game is fundamentally the same. It's just there's more. If we hit the same shot, let me put it this way. If we hit the same shots with hickory clubs that we hit with regular clubs, we would have been angry. Because some of them were not very good. But with hickories, you let the margin for error open up. Because you know it's difficult. And you have more fun with it. And you just kind of accept that some bad things are going to happen. You're going to hit some lousy shots. And I think that was the best part of it. Of using the hickories. Was learning to kind of accept that some of the shots you think are bad when you play golf, they really aren't that bad. And you can recover from them. And they're a part of the game. That was kind of the lesson I took away from it. But in the end, we had such a great time. We get to experience Sweetens Cove to the max. We got to get together each night for dinner afterward. We went to El Toril in Kimball. And then we went to Jesse's Grill or Jesse's Bar or whatever the heck it is in Kimball the next night. So much fun. I can't wait to do it again. We're going to figure out where we're going to go next. A number of the folks who came on the trip said, hey, I would love to go wherever you go next. So we're going to figure that out, give people a heads up on that, and that'll be for sometime next year. We're all still working through all that stuff. But we got a lot of good suggestions. If you have some, please give them to us. You can hit me up on Twitter, email, whatever you would like to do. So we're going to fire up, before I do our ad read here, I'm going to fire up a new podcast. I've just kind of been toying with this idea for a while. Of doing more or less a short-form daily podcast. Kind of like, as long as we are in this show right now, like 19-plus minutes, that would be it. Like 20 minutes, couple topics, nice and quick, analysis, jokes, thoughts, move on. And just to keep you fresh in what's going on in the golf world. And we'll call it 2 off the first. So that's going to come up. It actually already exists in the Apple Podcasts app, Apple Podcast Store. But doesn't exist elsewhere yet. So we're going to load that up. It was originally going to be a video podcast, like 5 minutes a day with two stories as a news type thing. But I think this will work out a little bit better. So we're going to try that. And then I'm going to try and take this show and take it back to its roots of being an interview show. Have a guest on, talk for 20, 30 minutes, and then just kind of put a little bit around it. We'll call it a podcast because that's what this show is meant to be. It's meant to be an interview show. It really was. Has always meant to be an interview show. But for years, it just hasn't been. And so that's what we're going to do. So if you are interested in a show that kind of digs into golf news and golf topics on a daily basis, or mostly daily basis, we're still figuring out the timing of it. But we'll start that with the new PGA Tour season, and it'll be called Two Off the First. So however you listen to your podcasts, that should be available soon, and we'll remind you about that. Also want to remind you about our friends at Sagely Naturals. So we've been working with them this month to tell you about CBD products and the benefits for golfers and the potential that it can mean for your life outside the golf course to use CBD. As you know, I'm kind of skeptical about all kinds of things, almost everything, to be honest. And I was skeptical about CBD. When I found out about it in January at the PGA show, someone just throwing samples literally everywhere. I was like, what is this crap? Get it away from me. And I didn't use it. And then I saw Phil and Tiger and other players in the PGA Tour using them and figured there has to be something to it. I mean, you don't just use hocus pocus crap on the PGA Tour with millions of dollars on the line. And come to find out, it's, of course, legal in all 50 states, even if recreational or medical marijuana is not legal because it doesn't use the THC component. CBD is separate from THC. CBD is kind of the pain-relieving component of hemp. THC is the psychoactive component, the part that gets you high. So if you take away the THC part of it, then you just get the pain relief part of it. And that's great for a lot of people who don't want to medicate, who don't want to over-medicate, don't want to rely on drugs, who can just use something that's natural, works for them. And CBD can be applied in a variety of ways. You can use a roll-on, which is what I use. I've used a couple different times. Used it at Sweetens twice, and it on my knees after 45 days of golf, and I was ready to go the next morning. Perfect, feeling great. I've used it for headaches. Works great. You can use it as a cream, topical cream, so you can rub it on your skin if you prefer it that way as opposed to a rollerball type thing. They have pills that you can take that then get into your digestive system and then kind of disperse the CBD that way. So there are different ways to get into your system, but Sagely Naturals has you covered either way. Their relief and recovery line, what I'm talking about here, is wonderful. It really does work quickly. I don't smell like a medicine cabinet if I use like an Icy Hot. And I don't have to carry around pills. I can just carry around something that I can rub on, be done, smell great, move on with my life. It works out perfectly. And then they also have a sleep-related line so that if you have trouble getting to sleep at night, you can take some CBD. It will calm you down, and then you sleep a little bit better. Hopefully even better than I sleep these days. And then they also have the extra strength line, basically, where you get more CBD per unit so that if you don't feel the same kind of benefits that I might feel using regular old Sagely Natural CBD, you need some extra strength to it, then you can get the same level of benefit. Costs a little bit more money, but you also get the benefit. It's pretty reasonably priced, anywhere from $20 to $50, basically your price range. You can get a little starter pack that they'll send to you like they did for me, and you can try out some of it for yourself and then see how it works, with your daily routine and the things that you do that cause you pain that you still want to do, like golf. So head over to sagelynaturals.com. Check out their products. Again, I would highly recommend getting kind of the gift starter set. Try it out for yourself. See what you like. See what your body responds to. And then kind of dial in a little bit better and decide what you want to do moving forward. But the products have been wonderful. I'm going to hold on to them, keep using them. I'm going to become, a CBD guy now. But I don't get too much pain. But when I get to use the products that help my pain and when it goes away really quickly, that makes me happy. Keeps me active, keeps me doing the things I want to do, which is namely playing more freaking golf, and that's a good thing. That's a price I'm willing to pay. So, sagelynaturals.com, check them out, and tell them Ryan Balaji sent you. All right, so I want to do one kind of little quick segment around the FedEx Cup and the Tour Championship, whether it was successful or not. We talked about that in the last podcast, whether it would be any good, we should hold out judgment. And I think it turned out great. I mean, obviously, the PGA Tour got a dream scenario, right? You had the number one seed, Justin Thomas, in there for the most of it. You have Brooks Koepka, the number one player in the world, there for the most of it. You had Xander Schauffele, the big game hunter who seems to turn up at these big tournaments and majors and WGCs and playoff events. He was in it. And then you had Rory McIlroy, who's previously won the FedEx Cup, like Justin Thomas, going for a second to try and join Tiger Woods in that company. And a guy who has played very consistent golf all year, won the Players, won the Canadian Open, has one of the greatest strokes gained per round averages in the history of the statistic, which is 17 years now. And it all just was a perfect scenario. The best players were also the guys that were there in the end. And the starting strokes didn't really matter that much for Koepka and for Schauffele and for Paul Casey, who was kind of eventually a fringe player on Sunday, and certainly for McIlroy. McIlroy would have won the tournament whether there were starting strokes or not. He played 13 under par for the four rounds, and he won by four strokes at 18 under with five under starting strokes. I think that this was a good format. I can live with it. I know that there are a lot of people who don't like the idea of a handicap of four tournament in terms of strokes, but I think that the trade-off here was, in the old days, you know, last year and before, you didn't know with the points always, unless you were in the top five, you didn't know that if you winning was enough when you won to win the FedEx Cup. So you were effectively just playing one tournament and hoping you got the other one. With this, you're giving that up. You're giving up the purity of the Tour Championship, although it's a 30-year-old tournament, who cares? But you're giving up the purity of the tournament itself with the starting strokes in return for all of the players knowing exactly where they're at. And with that knowledge means these guys know they're playing for $15 million. They don't now have to think, well, I'm playing for like 1.7 if I win the Tour Championship, and if whatever I get in the FedEx Cup is a bonus. It is now crystal clear. It is $15 million, and that is enough to make anyone nervous. So I think that made it better. Obviously, the golf was good. Obviously, the scenario worked out where the best players pretty much were there in the end. And that's not going to happen every year. You're not going to get that every year. Over time, this is not going to be a perfect format. I think it will be hard for players to overcome the starting strokes, especially those who are at least eight back to start. But Xander Schauffele wasn't in good position before the tournament and basically overcame, what was it, a seven-shot deficit? Six-shot deficit? Pretty quickly. He was fixed. Six-shot deficit. He did in one round because Justin Thomas got out of the gate slow. Patrick Cantlay, who was second with the starting strokes, finished horribly, had a terrible week, and cost himself probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million, $4.5 million, by playing poorly. Jason Kokrak, who got in barely at the 30th slot, got into the top half. He made himself a boatload of money with a good week. And I think the thing that we didn't talk about and didn't emphasize as much because there was so much top heaviness, and that was great, was that the real difference between number 6 and number 30 is four strokes. It's a stroke around. If you can overcome that, you can make $1.5 million. That's the difference between 6th and 30th in the new FedEx Cup bonus payout. So there's a lot to play for, and I like that. I think that's important. I think that's good. We won't talk about that as much because of the $15 million, but for guys like Jason Kokrak, who basically picked themselves up close to $1 million over the week just because of getting into the Tour Championship and then playing better than the guys who just couldn't handle it, I think that's wonderful. I think it's great. I mean, obviously, there are plenty of golf fans out there who do not care at all about the money. And maybe to emphasize that can turn them off. But in this case, I think it does matter to emphasize it because now we know what those guys know. They know they're playing for the $15 million, and that means something. Playing in a tournament, though, with starting strokes, once you get down to the nitty-gritty, it turned into tournament golf. I think everyone kind of forgot what the formula was to get to that point in the leaderboard, but you had four big-name players right up there vying against each other for a tour championship. It's not going to be that way forever. It's not going to work out that way every time. Sometimes everybody who's in the top five is going to falter, and someone who's like 20th is going to surge and win. It's going to be crazy. But there's more volatility. There's a better understanding of what's going on. I think it was the right choice. I think it was this is the path forward. Again, if you're not going to make it a playoff where it what happens inside the ropes alone determines who wins, and just tournament by tournament who wins. Okay, that's fine, but this is probably the best alternative. This is better, I think, than the 2007 system, where Tiger, I think, just had to finish to win. Same thing with Vijay in 2008. He literally had to stay upright to win the tour championship and the $10 million. Those weren't good, so that's why they led to the reset, which was around since 2009. So for basically 10 years, you had this reset thing, which wasn't a bad idea. It just was a convoluted idea, and it didn't fully communicate to the players what had to happen for them to win the unimaginable sum of money that they were going to pick up. So I think it works out for the best that now they know, now everyone knows, there's no confusion. Steve Sands doesn't have to sit in a locked closet and look at a camera with a whiteboard or a touch screen or anything like that. It just works out better. So that's good. Will it ever be on the level of the players? No. It'll certainly never get to the level of a major championship. And I don't know that this thing's going to be here after 20 years. I mean, this might be a 20-year concept. And you go, all right, well, who's willing to nut this thing up to a $100 million bonus pool? And no one's going to be willing to do that, I don't think. I don't even think FedEx would be willing to cut that kind of check. It's amazing they're willing to cut a $60 million check for the kind of bonus pool that they have now. So they deserve to have their name on it. They deserve to overshadow the tour championship. That it just there are things that I realized turned people off about the new format, but the reality is FedEx is cutting a $60 million check. They want the most attention possible. That's in August before football. They want the tournament and the playoffs to kind of have their branding all over it. That's why it's the FedEx Cup playoffs now. It's no longer the PGA Tour playoffs or the FedEx Cup. Nope, it's the FedEx Cup playoffs. That works better. And the tournament is all about them. There's no, you win the tour championship, you win this. No, it is, you're winning this today. You're winning the FedEx Cup today. That is what you are playing for. I think that's even better as well. So everything turned out great. I think that's the dream scenario. Now next year, if the nightmare scenario happens and some nobody relative to the field wins in a blowout from like 21st spot, okay, well, we're going to have years like that. I mean, the Kansas City Royals won a world championship in this century. So crazy stuff happens all the time. And that's what a playoff is supposed to be. You're supposed to have a situation where anything can happen on the right set of circumstances happening in a row. So I like it. It's closer to a playoff type feel. We'll see if it continues forward. All right, it's going to do it for us on this episode of the show. Thanks so much for listening to us. Be sure to subscribe to that new podcast, Two Off the First, if you're on Apple Podcasts, and I'll let you guys know when it goes live on your other services that you may be listening to us. But most of you listen through iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So hit the subscribe button, check it out. It'll be a 15 to 20 minute show. Most days, once we start with the new PGA Tour season, I might even throw a pilot episode up there just to whet people's appetite a little bit, get some feedback as well. All right, up until next time, please give us a 5-star review if you're on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. Helps us reach more people. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Email the show, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Happy to talk to you anytime, answer questions. And if you want to ask us about our next trip or just get on our list for that, be excited to have you on that as well. All right, thanks for listening. We will talk to you next time.